one of my dad's favorite saints is a saint by the name of Louis de Montfort. And if he were up here, he would tell you, and I think it's true, I believe him, that he says the main reason is because of his love for our Blessed Mother Mary. So it was Our Lady that brought my dad back to the faith, that he would say saved his life. Louis de Montfort wrote the classic work on Our Lady, True Devotion to Mary. It's been the most influential book ever written about our Blessed Mother. But my dad likes to tell the story about him, that he was a very famous preacher, and he would be called to give retreats at many parishes, many dioceses, and he's one time giving one in a town in France. He was a Frenchman, lived in the 18th century, and he's giving this retreat, and he's at the pulpit, and it must have been either an open-air church or there were windows, the doors were open, and across the street there's a bar. And there's several guys listening to him, and they start heckling him. They start saying crude things. They start swearing. It wasn't mass. It was just a retreat. So he finishes up his sermon, and he walks quietly, doesn't say a word, walks over to the bar. Louis de Montfort was a big, strong man. He did not speak a single word except with his fists. He knocked them all out. They're all left lying on the ground. He breaks their glasses, the glasses they were drinking their beer from. I think that is why my dad loves him. He wants to be that kind of saint. Saint Nicholas, the one that we got Santa Claus from. Saint Nicholas was kicked out of one of the early councils. Like, we just had the Second Vatican Council 50 years ago, where all the bishops in the world gathered together with the Holy Father. Our recent synod was a small example of that. Saint Nicholas was kicked out of the council. This man who became a saint, do you know why he was kicked out? Because one of the other bishops, who was a known heretic, who preached lies about the faith, he kept speaking up, and Nicholas finally got so fed up, he goes over and he socked him. He's talking, the Pope had to kick him out of the council. Now, why do I speak of these guys? Not that that's the example to follow, but because oftentimes people think of saints, and I think generally we kind of think, oh, they're wimps, or they're not normal, they're not real, they're goody-two-shoes, we could never be like them, oh, I couldn't possibly be a saint. Every single one of us, that's what we were made for. And if guys like Louis de Montfort and Saint Nicholas not only become saints, but great saints, the reality is it's possible for every single one of us. Recently I was reminded, I one time helped out at a retreat for young boys, teenage boys, and it was fathers who were giving the talks during this retreat. And this one dad gave the example, he's trying to teach the kids about vice and virtue. And he gives the example, he says, imagine if you walked into a room and a crowd has just left and you see a $20 bill on the floor. He says, if you are dishonest, if you are greedy, you'd look over your shoulder, see if anyone's watching, and you would rush to that bill, stick it in your pocket as quickly as possible. He says, if you have the virtue of honesty, he says, you see that $20 bill, and there's no struggle in your soul. You don't deliberate like, gosh, should I take that or not? You know, do they need it as much as I do? Maybe God planted that there just for me. There's none of that. If you are virtuous, you immediately run to grab the bill to bring it to the proper owner. My brothers and sisters, the saints were not just virtuous, they were heroically virtuous. They weren't wimps, they were heroes. And that's why our church holds them up, and especially on this feast day, that we are reminded of that. Because the world gives us so many heroes to follow. And sadly in our culture, many of our heroes who are movie stars, artists, actresses, many of them don't live very good lives. Now, are there some who are examples to follow? Yes, but our kids are following them and not the true heroes that we ought to follow. I was talking to the school kids. We had Mass on Friday, and we had an early All Saints Day Mass. And I was speaking to the kids, and I told them my record for confession, the most consecutive hours I've ever spent in the confessional, was 9 hours. Now, yeah, and you say, oh, wow, you know, gosh. And they were grueling. I mean, I was getting hungry. I'd use the bathroom. You start hearing, you're just like, oh, man, I don't want to listen to one more sinner, right? 9 hours straight. I finished up and I was so proud of myself, man. I just did. And then I thought, St. John Vianney, he did 12 to 18 hours every day for 40 years. I mean, that's heroic. I thought of St. Maximus the Confessor. St. Maximus in the early church, he lived in a country where civically they were trying to put an end to the Catholic faith. And he would speak out. He would proclaim the faith boldly. He was exiled not one time, but four times. And he kept sneaking back in the country and trying to protect the faith for all those Catholics who lived there. Finally, they knew they couldn't silence him, so they cut off his hand so he couldn't write anymore, and they cut out his tongue so he couldn't preach. But he was never going to give up on the faith. I thought of Mother Teresa. I one time had the opportunity. I was in Lithuania, and I was visiting a religious sister there. And the Missionaries of Charity, they have a convent at which they serve the poorest of the poor. And the sisters, Mother Teresa, had died about 5 years beforehand. And they were sharing with me stories because sometimes some of them had lived with her. Some of them got to know her fairly well. And one of the sisters shared with me, she said, "Father, I was present when our superior at the local convent at which I was assigned, she called Mother Teresa because we were in a war zone. And there were bombs going off in the city we lived in, and there was a chance that we might die if we didn't flee. And the superior called because most people were evacuating. And so she said, Mother, what are we supposed to do? And she said, Father, I was in the room listening to this sister have the conversation. And she said, I remember the superior's response when she said, Mother told her, she asked, what are the poor people doing? And the superior said, well, Mother, the poor people, they have no means of leaving, they're staying. And Mother Teresa told her sister, you are there for the poor. If the poor stay, you stay. And if the poor die, you die with them. Have you ever taken a day to feed the homeless? Have you ever helped out at a shelter? You go there for a few hours. It's very rewarding work. Could you imagine doing that every single day of your life, all day, nonstop? Mother Teresa did that for over 60 years. Pouring herself out for the poor, for the poorest of the poor. I give just one more example. Maximilian Kolbe, when he was in the concentration camp in Auschwitz, when you're starving, and I've never been starving, but there are times I'm pretty darn hungry, when people are starving, they will tell you that if they're given a portion of food, they're like ravenous wolves. They try to get it down as quickly as possible. In Auschwitz and all the concentration camps, people were starving, literally. And they were given a small portion of food every day. People who survived, who knew Maximilian Kolbe, they said typically he would give his portion away. The infirmarian at the infirmary, after he was beaten to a pulp so badly that they had to lift him off the ground and carry him, the infirmarian who survived said he knew that Maximilian Kolbe was a priest. And so he went to get him water. He knew that he must be feverish from having been so badly beaten. And he goes to hand him the cup of water. And Maximilian Kolbe had the state of mind to say to him, does everyone here suffering, do they all get water? And he said, Father, no, I'm doing this for you. And he said, if they don't get it, I don't want it. Give it to someone else who you know is suffering terribly. My brothers and sisters, they're heroes. And when we hear about them, it stirs our hearts. And we like to read about them because we know that that's what every single one of us is made for. We were all made for heroism. And we know when we read about them that we're supposed to be doing what they did. And not that we can imitate their lives perfectly, but in our own lives, we ought to be pouring ourselves out for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we know when we read about them and we're not following their example, that we are not becoming who God made us to be. And so I can tell you right now, if you are not truly happy, that part of the reason you're not happy is because you're not on the path to sainthood. And I can say that because I know it, because I know myself as a priest. There are times where I come before our Lord and I search my heart and I know that I'm not becoming the saint He made me to be. And I know that because I'm not really at peace. Because I'm settling for something less. And when in our lives, when we're settling, we're not going to be joyful as God made us to be. And so I have to choose and, okay, Lord, I'm going to set back on the right track. I want to be a saint. I know that's what you called me to be. As I was preparing for this homily this morning, I became aware of something that is standing in my way. And I know, okay, now I have a decision to make. Am I going to remove that obstacle? Or am I going to be a mediocre saint? And sometimes I do, I'm like, man, Lord, I'd kind of like to just be a mediocre one. My brothers and sisters, God made us to be perfectly happy for all eternity. But the joy, the peace, the love that He wants to pour into our souls, He wants to do that here and now. And it is not possible to be all that we're called to be if we're not seeking to be saints. I remember St. Ignatius of Loyola. He was a soldier, and he's at battle, and he was courageous, he was a leader, he was zealous. He was hit with a cannonball, and he had to recover for a year. He was bedbound for a year. And there were no books on chivalry, which is what he would want to choose to read. All they had was A Life of Christ and the Lives of the Saints. And he starts to read about the saints, and he's convicted. He knows that there are things lacking in his life. And he said he's had a special love for Francis and Dominic. And so he started to ask himself, he'd say, Francis did it, and Dominic did it. Why not you, Ignatius? My brothers and sisters, as we celebrate All Saints Day today, I ask you, why not you? It is our primary vocation. It's what we were made to be. Mother Teresa was one time asked by a reporter. He said, Mother, what is it like when so many people in the world believe you're a living saint? How does that make you feel? And she looked at him and she was confused and she said, but isn't that what we're supposed to be?